If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, welcome to our show.
And now, back for the second half of the Carol Burnett Show.
Well, Merry Christmas, Mike, Rob, and Josh. May your holiday be filled with all the peace, love, and warmth of the season. And maybe, just maybe, a little snow on Christmas morning.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. Great to have you along on a Wednesday broadcast, and I am going to offer this to you, that I have really no idea what this show is going to be like, other than the fact that I woke up this morning at 6 a.m. to prepare the show, as I do most mornings, and I probably had the most difficult time staying awake that I have ever had in my life. And it is due to the fact that the VIX companies, Lavoris. And VIX VapoRub and the NyQuil products.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever been more influenced by that.
What time did you take it?
I want to say 8:30.
Wow.
8:30, 9 o'clock.
So it's just jumping in now. Now, yeah. Would you think that...
What do you mean, so it's just jumping
in now? Because it takes a little while for it to manifest.
A little while, what, like 14 hours?
He took it 12 hours ago.
Oh, it took it 12 hours ago.
I was thinking 8:30 this morning.
He doesn't listen. He never listens.
8:30 this morning was 6 minutes ago.
That's true.
Mike would be falling asleep in segment three.
But I'm curious, Mike, when you're this hyped up on goofballs like that, do you think when you look back on the show will have felt like it dragged for you, or will it be a show that zooms by because you're under the influence?
I have no idea. All I know is that there, you know, in all the shows where I've had a little, you know, fun the night before with some adult beverages, they've usually been pretty goofy.
Did you take the prescribed amount, or did you just try?
Well, here's the thing: those little Dixie cups they give you on the top,
The top guy.
Those have gone missing. So I chug-a-lugged the NyQuil, and I probably did a little bit more than prescribed. Probably two.
Oh, that's way too much.
Two healthy ones.
Yeah. Did you put three coffee beans in it for luck?
I did not.
It's a shame.
But I actually went to a neighbor's house the other night. Parents of a friend of Michael's, who he's Sicilian. He brought out espresso and a little shot of Sambuca the other night, which was lovely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that. It was delectable. And, he is no more Sicilian looking than, I would never, ever, ever, ever pick him to be Italian in any way. He is the most, least Italian looking person.
Is he like Northern Italian, like blonde?
We got into a discussion with Vikings and all. You know, when you talk about all of us, the human condition, we're all a bunch of mongrels. We're a mixture of different invasions and things like
Not me. You know? I'm very racially pure.
You're really not, Rob.
I know. I'm teasing.
I mean, you may think you are, but no, I don't think.
No, I'm maybe the most mixed up of us all.
Yeah, I'm 50 when I did the whole, oh, my God, I've got something that I completely forgot. There we go. That's happens when you're dealing with this. I have to tell you that I got a fascinating letter yesterday sent to my home regarding Ancestry.com that how does this go? He was tracing his family trees, trying to fill in the blanks, and there was my great-grandfather, who I never knew, and my grandparents, and my mother, And then we used to have a relative called Aunt Ruth and Uncle Wally. They lived in California. I remember one time when my parents and I went out to California, and I went to Disneyland with my mom and dad. And
is
during
that
trip,
picture of you with the sport jacket? Is that the trip?
I believe that is. It could be. We went to. We did two Disneys within a very short time.
I just have to say.
Oh, wait, before I monopolize the conversation, can we bring in your brother, Matt, who is here? Let's bring Matt in and say hi to Josh Soroka's brother, Matt Soroka. Doctor, good to see you. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Mike. Good to see you. Thanks for bringing me in. Rob, Josh, hi.
Hi, buddy.
Great to. Now, what is this interesting.
Well, this is a little Christmas music because it's a holiday thing.
Oh, I get intro music now. I love it. Let's go.
Yeah. Look at Rob's head.
Yeah.
You are so filled with trouble for me today.
Because I'm sick.
I know.
It's directed at you. But when you don't listen in the first segment, that's that frustrates me.
I missed one letter. A for P. I apologize.
I don't say AM and PM. I said at 8:30. He asked me 8:30.
You just missed the math that it was 8:30 as we
were
speaking.
Okay. Well, I apologize for that. Now Mike is mocking me. Stop it. How dare you? I don't get to play a lot of music on the show, so when I do, I enjoy it.
We'll get back to the ancestry stuff that I got. Really was a wild card. Carla brought it up to me, put it in front of me, and I read it and said, wow, and he had a diagram and everything. He wants to send me the whole 41-page PDF on the thing because it's fascinating.
It's real. Is he going to be in Maine?
He is not. He is not, but I mean, we're related, obviously, I think, in some sort of way. Although, yeah, I can't go in. Well, I've gone into the details about my mom and my grandmother, and biologically, my maternal grandfather was not my biological maternal grandfather, but he was.
Did he marry in?
He was no. It was I suppose that's what it was, but more of a grandfather to me than anybody biological could have been.
And to what I said earlier, anyone who was fortunate enough, blessed enough to come to our first.
He's popping again, isn't he, Josh?
He is.
Well, okay, then I will step away.
But I kicked my camera. God damn it.
Just briefly, those of you who were blessed enough to go to our first state theater show, we had pictures of our youths growing up. And And Mike was at Disneyland in a sport jacket.
Yeah, drop out and come back in, Rob. Drop out and come back in, Rob. Can Rob hear me? Can you guys hear me?
There he goes.
Yes, there he goes.
He left.
You hear me, Josh?
Yes. Rob was just struggling to leave. He didn't want to go. God. He never likes to miss the conversation.
Can I just say, Matt, first of all, the efforts put forth by your brother in the year 2025 for this show have been delightful, and I've been thrilled.
I like bringing Matt in to praise me.
I really have to, and I like to do it without Rob here, because Rob gets jealous, because Rob does. That's right, nothing. I got here just
in time to hear that.
Okay, very good. Can you
put the Rob does nothing in context?
If you stuck your efforts up against Josh Soroka, you would agree yourself that he does an awful lot for the show.
He does. And that allows me to come along, which is nice.
Which is, you know, I mean, that's I think I expressed to you the other day that I want more if you can, you know, and I won't get
it,
but
I'm so glad Rob's back in Leesburg, so I don't have to do the sounders and videos and the stuff.
And Rob runs some of the audio on the show, so that's good too. But I was complimenting your brother for really, you know, constantly improving things, tweaking things, making things more fun. And as far as an in-studio, what's that? Why do you say that like that with that?
Well, because you're driving a wedge between us right now.
I thought I was going to come on here.
What, a wedge between you and Josh?
Yeah, and Matt, you pipe down for a second. Okay. And welcome, but pipe down.
Wedge between you and Josh?
Yes, Mike, you are. You're talking about...
Want to be your friend, Mike. You just have to return a couple texts.
can remember a couple cookbooks.
No, no, I don't care about the friends thing. I'm talking about work. I'm talking about the productivity, and you know, I
still see it as a divide and conquer right now, because you're saying, well, you know, he does so much and he's so great, and I will ask from you and not get anything. And I understand, but I mean,
you know,
it's
how
not-
they talk about, you know, how they talk about use your brain. How much percentage of your brain you use? That's what this is. This is you know. But I don't want to make it about you. I want to make it about you know, Josh. And as far as friendships go, when you you like to say people are your friend, you crave friendships. I think,
Mike,
you do.
I'm down to about three, so I need to treasure what I have.
I'm not burdened with that. I'm really not. I gave up on that. I don't know when I gave up on that, but I love I love acquaintances, and
well,
I love.
But we're friends, right? You and
yes,
I.
Yes, you and I are. You and I are very, very definitely friends, and will be until the day I draw my last breath. What's that?
You've got your golf buddies.
Yeah, but, those are acquaintances. You know.
Yeah.
Although I am yes.
Those are friends because you care about what they think. You care about what they think of you.
But what does a friend, is that what defines friendship? I think a friendship is like, would you have them over for dinner? Would you have them over to hang out outside of how you know them? Like, Mike, you knew a lot of people when you were bowling. But would you socialize with them other than bowling? I don't think so.
However, I am part of a large group. And Carla and I will be going out for New Year's Eve down here for the very first time. And I mean, we haven't been in almost my entire relationship with her. We haven't had a New Year's Eve celebration.
Did you stay up till midnight last year, even if you didn't do anything?
Probably not.
Yeah, I haven't in years.
And so this is a guy who I really enjoy. And he is a New England guy, and he is kind of a, how would I put it, a ringmaster when it comes to getting people together. And this was going to be three or four couples, and it ended up, I think we have 24 couples that are going to be at Happy Valley.
People.
And that's going to be, you know, wild and festive and fun. And I know every single person there. So in that sense, dear friends, not necessarily, but people I know. And that I would love to have Carla around, 100%.
Cool.
And
Will this shindig be at his home or like at the clubhouse or where will it be?
It's at Happy Valley. It's at Happy Valley. You know, the thing about it is that the idea of you know, you two being friends, that works for this show, in my opinion. I think that you
it
and
does.
And then you, but when Matt was in during the pre-show meeting today, you immediately said, my friend, and I am curious to explore that. And that's why we bring Josh's brother in here to, when Rob says, friend, you've socialized with Rob, right? Gone to a game or something like that. Is that right, Matt?
Well, I'm a little nervous now because now I feel like I've been thrown into the middle of this kind of spat here between co-hosts and talk about friendship. I mean, define friendship. I met Rob.
You know, you're a troublemaker. Did I ever tell you that, Soroka? You're a troublemaker.
I'm just.
How do you get spat out of that? We were talking about the fact that I was complimenting your brother,
right?
And then Rob said you're driving a wedge between us, and you immediately. I think you are his friend because you took his word for it. Okay. I was not trying to drive a wedge between anybody, and then you said we're thrown in with this spat. So now you're judging me too,
Josh.
This is what Matt does. Family dinners. Matt's going to take the counter argument to try to start a big argument.
The worst.
It's what he's doing here.
Yeah. No, I'm not doing that here, Mike. Your recall of the conversation is being selective here. You did compliment Josh and then take a little dig at Rob at the end of the compliment.
Yes, yeah. I did. But I wouldn't call that a spat. I do that every day on the show. No. Rob does it to me probably a little less, but he does that as well.
That didn't even merit a spat. And by the time we spoke to you, it was over. And I you know, I'm sorry I said pipe down. That was in the moment of you know, heat.
No, that's fine. If I need to pipe down, I mean, it's just your guy's show. Tell me.
Rob constantly mentions that you are his friend. Would you consider Rob a friend?
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, sure.
Nice.
That wasn't exactly a ringing endorsement there.
Can I share something that happened to Rob that made me connect so much with Rob that an incident happened to Rob?
Cool. This is what happens between friends.
I had a similar incident with Mike, too. So wait for it, Mike.
Okay.
But Rob,
Yes.
Your experience leaving your cell phone with the Uber driver.
Yes, exactly. On the way to the ship when we're doing on the MSS Seaside. Right.
I remember it like it was just last week.
Me too.
Well, and Josh knows this about me. I lose stuff all the time. I'm a very absent-minded person.
Okay.
I mean, I think I was flying with you one time where I think you were with me, where I went through security at the airport, got on the plane, and then while I was sitting on the plane, realized I don't have my laptop.
Yes.
I left it at security.
That's a terrible feeling. Yes.
And so I'm doing...
You left your laptop? I mean, it got to security, but not to the plane.
Yes. He got on the plane without it.
And I just left it in that little container. I forget my lunch to work half the time.
So you take a lunch? Like, do you carry a lunch? You brown bag it?
I brown bag it.
Well, he's very cheap, Mike.
Yes, of course.
Of the four of us here, well, I'll just say the three principals, have you ever had to disembark a plane once you've gotten on? Because obviously that's what you have to do if you left.
Only Matt.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be, think of hundreds of people going down that narrow aisle and you got to be the guy to go out front. That
it's
makes you an enemy.
Everyone
yeah.
sees you. Everyone knows it's embarrassing. But right. but Rob, the thing about it is, though, I'm absent-minded. I forget stuff all the time. I forget my lunch, like I said. But I would never call my wife, even though it's just 7 minutes away. I would never call her and ask her to bring it. Because
right.
the thing I hate more than anything is I don't like my absent-mindedness to impact other people. That's
all
what I feel
it does
the worst
is impact
about that.
Other people.
What's that?
All it does is impact
no,
other
no,
people.
I know it does, but I try to contain it. I try to contain it to just, and I'm not fazed by it. I just know going through life, I'm going to forget and lose stuff, and it's not a big deal to me. But then when it starts to impact other people, that stresses me out.
And what
Rob,
is that?
I felt that stress in your part that it was impacting other people.
That's the worst part about it. That truly, truly is.
What does that have to do with the described spat that we were having, though?
Well, this has nothing to do with the spat. I was just relaying a story about how I connected with Rob in sharing his story.
They both left things behind.
Yeah. Okay, that bonds you to Rob a little more. That Rob is a little absent-minded as well.
Yeah. And Mike, can I say what bonds me to you?
Yeah. What's that? What bonds you to Mike?
There was you talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the show. This is like 3 weeks ago when my kids walked into the living room, and there was this bad stink in the air. I was like, "What is that smell?" And you know, I have three kids, 8, 6, and 3. They're always into something,
right?
And so the smell could be anything it could be a number of things, but they all had it.
And this bonds
God
you to Mike.
Damn it, your brother's
smell.
Making me laugh. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go
and
ahead.
It bonds
continue.
Me to Mike. And then as it got, I was Emily, my wife, and I were trying to figure out like, what is that stink? And then it was like all the kids. And then we finally, like, we narrowed it down to their hands.
Oh.
You know what it was?
I'd love to hear because maybe we'll commiserate on this.
It was the Myers gingerbread hand soap.
It is garbage.
Terrible.
It's the worst thing in the world. It's the worst thing in the world.
I can't even describe how the awful smell.
Okay,
I
thought you were gonna go in a different direction. First of all, I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Secondly, you know where I thought you were going? Josh will relate to this one. Josh, you know what I never tracked with?
What?
The batting gloves. Oh my God, batting gloves.
Oh, well, a batting glove.
It would
simulate the environment of a shoe. Yeah.
Oh, it is so horrible. And I said, what is that? And it was two kids in the batting cages and their batting gloves. But getting back to the Myers thing, we cannot be alone with that because that gingerbread is, I'm trying to think.
It's hard to
describe the stink.
It really
of that.
Is. And
let
I'm
me
very,
ask a follow up about this because when you talk about narrowing down the stink to their hands, exactly what was that perceived? Procedure. Did you have to smell your children all over them, or how did it go?
No, just as they're climbing around, you start to sniff around to see where is it emanating from.
I mean, it was never like having little Charlie to turn around so you could check the backside of him for the smell or anything like that.
No.
Okay,
our kids are beyond that. But it was.
Does
you know
he
how
have a Charlie?
I am and
Do you
how,
have no, a Charlie?
He doesn't. I was just speaking figuratively.
Do you know his kids' names?
I met one of his children.
Yeah, what's the name?
This is a friendship test now.
Yeah. I think it's Gil. Isn't it Gil?
See,
short for Gilbert?
There you go. There's your buddy. There's your buddy right there.
But I had to, you know how frugal I am. I had to throw out the soap.
Oh, and you had to hate that.
A full container of soap. We had to throw it out.
And Myers is, I use it for hand soap and cleaning products around the house, as my wife does. And it is usually, that's the whole attraction of the product is the scents. They missed with this gingerbread. I mean, completely missed with this gingerbread.
Could you use it for anything other than soap? Like, could you lube an electric car with it or anything?
I don't want the smell anywhere near.
Yeah, you don't want that smell around. And I would say the smell would be more closer to curry gone bad.
Well, ginger can be very spicy. So maybe they just leaned on the ginger. Like, the difference between ginger ale and ginger beer.
It doesn't matter because they just, it just sucks. Totally sucks.
And it doesn't matter to them because if they put gingerbread on the label, people will buy it.
Yeah, because people
will make a bunch of money.
Yeah. What is your son's name, Matt?
Silas.
That's right.
My kid has a Silas. I think the most common name that I hear when I go to baseball tournaments is Colton. Do you guys get that? Do you get Colton, Josh?
I've heard a lot of Colton.
Lots of Coltons.
Yeah. A lot of Mavericks.
Really? Mavericks.
I've seen a lot of Mavericks.
Yeah. That's amazing. Maverick. I didn't hear any Mavericks.
There's something going on where they don't want traditional names anymore.
Jabril and Zubair. We had some more exotic names in Colton. But.
Well, in the case of the kids' names, I think for a long time, parents have been naming their kid with those kind of Wild Westy names, like Shane and Colton. And, well, Maverick would be one, even though it's more of a Top Gun thing, but Maverick. Clint.
Maverick should be a Western name because of the old TV show and the newer Western movie. I think it's a Western before if it's a Top Gun thing.
Are you surprised there aren't more kids named after their dads, like you and I named our kids after, us?
I think it should be traditional. I mean, it's something that literally Carrie and I discussed before we were married. I said, when we have children, if it's a boy, I would like it to be Robert III. And she agreed to it way back when.
And does that mean he keeps the same middle name?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Robert Wadham Spiewak III.
And that means there's a whole lot of pressure on Robert to have a fourth.
Not really.
The third is pretty cool. The third is pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that. And do you enjoy having your name live on like that? I think it's very cool. I feel proud for my father.
You know what it elicits from me is just a beautiful memory of when my mom was alive and Carla was pregnant with Michael, and I was going to name him Michael Sean O'Meara Jr. And my mom paused and said, not your dad's name in there? And the next morning at brunch with the whole family, I told the whole table, I said, we're going to name Michael William O'Meara after my dad. And it was just really special. So every time I think of that, I love the fact that he's Michael William. And my mom was not the type of person to want that, but I think she knew where she was in life, and that was kind of cool.
With any of your kids, did you have any names that you even considered that were like slightly off the wall? Less than usual, I guess.
The other two are Catherine and Elizabeth, and as far as I didn't want to call Elizabeth Mary because we had too many Marys in my family.
Right.
We got my mom who's Mary, my aunt who's Mary, my cousin who's Mary. Too many Marys, and that's not unusual in an Irish Catholic family. But with Catherine, Michael, my nephew, was named after me, and I wanted to give her the same.
Were you ever going to name either of your daughters Regina?
No.
Oh, that's the Vicks company right there.
Pretty good.
I didn't want. Josh, there was a reason you wanted to have your brother Matt in the opening segment, and I forgot what it was.
We're bringing Matt on for a special during Christmas week, or the week after Christmas, as we take some time off. Rob and I have been working hard on some pre-recorded stuff and preparing episodes so that there's new, fresh content every day.
Appreciate that, you guys.
Take some time off, and one of those is featuring Matt. And I wanted to bring him on here to kind of tease that because I think it's a great story that we're going to get into.
But now, what is the, this is going to be a TMOS extra we're talking about here?
No, it's going to be on the regular feed.
It's going to be on the regular feed about a time where Matt was living in Africa.
Okay, can I tease it?
Brothers, man.
We gave you plenty of time.
Brothers.
All right. I know. I didn't want to step on anybody's toes, but I want to, if you guys will allow me just a couple minutes.
Yes, sir.
I want to
Well, let's all agree. Josh has already agreed. Mike, will you agree to give him a moment?
Oh, man.
All right.
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, I will too, but this is fleeting, so be efficient with your words.
Time's a fleeting.
I know. Rob's already shushed me once. I don't want him to shush me again. So June 2007, I'm going to pop different locations. Let's start Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Someone calls into a Christian radio show with a prayer request that a friend of her granddaughter has gone missing in Tanzania. Will you please pray for this young man? All right. Jump over an hour later.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to shush you. But thank you, David Tape, for the super chat.
I got a large screen for you, Rob, so you go and handle those today if you don't mind.
Yeah,
I'm
of course.
In the comments today, my apologies. Go ahead, Josh.
All right. So that's at 11 a.m.
Matt.
At 11:45, I got 11:45.
Yeah, Bill.
Zoom with me here to Baltimore. We're in 495, red Jeep Patriot. Emily's driving. She gets a phone call. She lets it go to voicemail because she's driving. While she's sitting in traffic, she listens to the voicemail. It's so shocking to her. She has to pull over on the shoulder. It's the U.S. ambassador to Tanzania leaving a voicemail saying her emergency contact, Matt, has gone missing in Tanzania. Okay, meanwhile, in Tanzania, let's zoom location-wise. We're zooming
around
the globe.
You're in Tanzania at this point?
He is the missing child in Tanzania.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting there. So zoom into Tanzania where Michael and four Michael is my friend. He's an American. He's with four other Tanzanians. They're running through the forest shouting the name Matthew, Matthew, Matthew. They can't find him anywhere. The waves are crashing. It's really loud. Then one more time, we're going to zoom back to Maryland, Arnold, Overleaf Drive. There's an old man in his early 50s. I shouldn't say old man. Aging man in his middle 50s, early 50s, walking up and down Overleaf Drive, crying, muttering about his son Matthew being dead. All right? That's a pretty good tease, right?
It's like the watching every 10th minute of a Tarantino film.
I think it's one of the
film worst
teases I've ever heard. I completely don't understand it.
I'm really unclear on it.
Do you understand any of that?
All right, okay.
He's trying to make it a movie trailer.
Yeah, I'm trying to get different locations.
When you say Zoom, these aren't Zoom calls. You're actually zooming in on a scene.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
No, that was
forget. All right. Anyway,
am I to understand this is a story about you being in Africa as an adult or a child?
I was 23 at the time.
So you're an adult.
Yeah, I got lost in Tanzania and nearly died, and it was a whole thing.
Has this been recorded yet, gentlemen?
No, we're recording this afternoon.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
We can give you time if you'd like to come along, Mike, for the story.
You know what? That's an interesting part. I think no.
Okay, you'll have to catch it when it hits.
And then the NyQuil will kick in.
Yeah. I'm going to bed after I put anything in the can today because of the NyQuil drug.
Yeah, so Matt got lost in Africa. Scary moment. Back home as cause of the missing kid, and nothing we can do except for me trying to calm my parents down that he's not dead, probably.
What is the missing kid factor with
Matt's
this?
Missing. Matt's missing.
But you keep calling him a child or
he's
a kid,
like 23
and he's
or whatever.
23. He's a grown up.
Sorry. Yeah, but I, on my
He's a missionary,
view,
right? You're doing missionary
side,
work because you're both.
That's a great position when you can do some missionary work.
Right, but I ended up getting lost on this island. And so I was missing and lost on this island, and no one knew where I was.
Glad it wasn't a lost doggy.
And, yeah, exactly. And the ambassador from America to Tanzania got involved, and it was a hole because they didn't know what they thought maybe like pirates got me because there's a bunch of Somalia pirates kind of near there on the east.
Were you raised by parents who did this type of stuff, who pushed you in that direction of doing missionary work and going out on mission trips? I've been on one in my lifetime.
Just to church
and that the type of churches that did that. Mine was to Haiti, actually. I went to Cap Haitian with a church group, and one of the great experiences of my life. And I don't know if this speaks to trips you guys have been on, but I was, even though I was decidedly secular, I still was welcomed to come on the trip. And you know, I wasn't anti-religion, but I was not they wanted me to sign some sort of document that the reason I would be over there was to you know, walk in the pathway, you know, that type of thing. And yeah. I said, I don't really feel comfortable signing this. And my buddy who started an orphanage down there said, just come down. We're just down here to love the kids.
It was similar for me. My one mission trip was to Davis, California. And I helped the people of Davis, and I signed something that said, yes, I love you, God.
Well, Matt's was different because
what
it was
the hell
term.
Did that just hold on? I don't, what does that mean?
I'm trying to just move past
what
it.
Was that joke? What was just, that
you wouldn't do a missionary trip to Davis, California?
Okay, that's all right, just that was interesting you that would. You chose that that yeah. location. So, the question.
How long
we have another super chat. Thank you for the super chat. We appreciate
Wallpecker it. Gave us $20, Mike.
That's great. And as we ramp up to Giving Thursday, we are really appreciating the super chats. You know, and so getting back to it, do you guys, when you would go on these trips, would there be people that were not part of the church or not totally religious that would come on the trips ever? Did that ever happen?
Well, Matt's was a long-term thing.
Yeah, well, on that trip, I was there for 6 months.
And it was smaller. It wasn't like a bunch of people going over, right?
Yeah,
it was just you and maybe a couple other people. Okay.
Yeah. And but now I take a group of Mercer students to Tanzania. We go every other summer. We just went last summer, actually, for the first time. And we're working with a Christian organization there, but I have teachers here, pre-service teachers, and they don't have to be a Christian or share the same faith.
And I think that is so cool to me. Yeah. So that leads to the point I wanted to make, because I didn't want to speak out of school on this, that, you know, it's just amazing the good work that's done that doesn't get the kind of attention it probably should, with people going over and helping people in third world countries. And I just think it was one of the most gratifying experiences of my entire life. And was there any particular reason why Tanzania was chosen in your circumstances, Matt?
Originally, no. I was just looking for it was I just was ready to graduate college, and I was just trying to postpone, you know, a life of responsibility and getting a job. And,
right.
And so,
but it's still better than like taking the year abroad and, you know, backpacking through Europe or.
Well,
anything
he's
like
bettering
that.
Other people. I mean, this is very mm-hmm. selfless to do.
But it was the same idea, right? That I wanted some adventure and excitement before mm-hmm. I kind of settled down.
Right.
I'm
scared by that. I've always thought going on a safari, going to the Congo, going over there. I think I'm a victim of American cinema, and it always seems to me when I'm watching the movies, whether it be South Africa or mm-hmm. Uganda, you know, it's Idi Amin, and South Africa it's Cry Freedom, and I always have that in the back of my mind.
You
so
always
I don't
identify with Anne Heche. In those movies, you get captured and tortured and treated badly. Yes.
What movie was that that Anne Heche was in?
It was they were trapped on an island, and it was Harrison Ford. I can't remember.
No, I don't think that was Africa, though.
But it was a foreign country, is what
was
I'm
it?
Saying.
Are you sure?
No.
Yeah, but and I understand that's how it's often displayed, but the reality of it is, if you're in a small village, and that's where I was at, in rural Tanzania, there's you cannot imagine a safer place in the world, because everyone knows you. It's very rural. It's a community. I'm going to hang my clothes up to dry. I know no one would take it, because you know it's just a small village, and if someone took it, they would be wearing my pants. And so it's a very safe, comfortable place. So there was, I think,
those
countries get a bad rap often because of the media.
Is that how you measure the safety of a location? If you can hang laundry up on a line and
hang
it won't
your
be
clothes outside the house and not get taken. Absolutely.
I got it from the network.
So both of you guys, the Soroka brothers, you've both been to many locations around the world doing this type of stuff. Josh, how many countries have you visited?
Well, for missionary work, I've only done two.
And
two shorter trips.
Malaysia,
and then I went to somewhere in Africa.
Zambia.
Okay.
Zambia. I went to Zambia.
Zambia and Malaysia. Mm-hmm. How about you, Matt? Where have you been?
I've just been to Tanzania, but I've been there multiple times.
Oh, really? So you've gone back again and again. What is the magic of Tanzania? What makes it special?
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, like you talked about, the benefit that I had from going there, and this is why I'm taking my Mercer students, is because both, yeah, we do some really good work there.
What students? Mercer?
Mercer. Mercer University.
Mercer University.
Oh, my father just got cured of Mercer.
Did you know that he taught at Mercer?
Me?
Yes, yeah, you. I'm asking
taught.
You, Rob.
I knew he taught, absolutely.
No, did you know he taught at Mercer?
No.
That friendship title's going down and down.
Yeah.
Good friend.
Who do you think wins, by the way, if Josh goes to do two different places, but Matt goes to one place over and over again? Who's the better missionary?
Matt, how long did you and Emily live in Tanzania?
We were there for a year.
I believe you have to give Matt the nod on that one.
I suppose. Did you make a lot of money through crooked business practices when you were over there? Is that how you survived?
No, Rob. I survived on a teacher's salary.
Okay. Just checking.
But a teacher's salary would probably go further in Tanzania than it would be in a suburb of Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got paid what all the Tanzanians got paid. So we made about $250 a month. But there was literally...
Oh, so you got the Tanzanian teacher's salary.
Yeah, but still, Mike, he did live in the village in the teacher's palace.
We lived in teacher housing, and literally we couldn't spend $250 a month. There was not enough stuff in the village to buy for that amount of money. So,
what did you... I'm fascinated. This is so fascinating. Was there anything that would approach in your year in Tanzania... In rural Tanzania, poor, poverty-stricken Tanzania, mm-hmm. is there anything that you would qualify as something of a luxurious nature that you look forward to in the whole year you were there?
Oh, absolutely. I think the thing that comes first to mind is the fruit, right? The pineapples, the mangoes, the bananas, phenomenal.
Okay. All right. Fresh fruit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's bare bones, man. That's cool.
Passion fruit. Oh, man. If you've never had a good fresh passion fruit, oh, man, you haven't.
I always thought passion fruit was something I thought passion fruit rats. I'm sorry. You stopped me in my tracks there.
Right.
You would have rats crawling on you over there?
Yeah. We had when we first moved into our place, it was rat infested. So we had to take some time to go to war with those things.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
Did the rats take your pants?
No, they didn't. They're not that big.
This is exactly what I hope for with this segment here. It's fascinating to me that you could sustain this, and the thing you got out of the experience was the relationships with people, because that's what it was. Even in my brief time in Haiti, is that what you remember most about it? I know you do it for others, but what do you get out of it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the relationships are fantastic. I mean, you mentioned before how the media and movies and all this stuff paints a certain portrayal of these places. But like when I think of Tanzania, I don't think of movies, right? I think of Upendo and Msafiri and all these people that I know and have relationships with. And so, and now with technology, it's amazing. I'm now I can stay in touch through WhatsApp with a lot of these people, too, in Tanzania. So it's pretty cool.
It's weird, though, because even though you don't think of it as a movie, you tried to present the story as a movie.
I did. Well, I was trying to do a tease, Rob.
Terrible.
Maybe
the way we'll go down.
But I tried.
History is the worst tease ever. So when is the next time you see yourself going? Will you go back to Tanzania?
Yeah, not this summer, but next summer. So we're going to go every other summer with Mercer students.
Will you ever go with him, Josh, over to Tanzania?
No.
That was very cut and dry.
That's wonderful. That's exciting. And as far as the holidays, will the two of you be breaking bread together at any time during the holidays?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it's mostly on me. We're being a little antisocial, my family, this Christmas, and just kind of just hanging with just us.
See, I'm doing the opposite. I'm actually, breaking the mold of being antisocial and mm-hmm. heading on up to Maine, where I'll be with my sister and my niece and their family. So that's kind of cool.
We had last Christmas together. We're good this year.
And next Christmas.
And last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
And Rob, anything you'd like to say before we send Matthew on his way?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. One of the greatest things about friendship is learning about your friend. And today I've learned a lot.
Thanks, Rob.
How many times have you talked to Matt outside of a show environment?
Probably like 60. Wouldn't you say that's about right, Matt?
Words?
No, actually.
Per week?
Zero, because as a friend, I respect his privacy.
And as a friend, I appreciate that respect.
Thank you. Thank you. And you didn't ask if we would be spending time together this Christmas, Matt.
It reminds me of one of the tapes that was played by Bob Goldthwait, Bobcat.
Yes.
When Bobcat Goldthwait was doing some recordings for us, and he said, Mike O'Mara, I'd never listened to Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, my personal friend, and then he giggled.
I do remember that.
Such a put down. So nasty. It was really, that kind of cultivated my disdain for stand-up comedians on the show, just their anger. And then there were shows that have them on all the time, snarky bastards. Matt, anyway, happy holidays to
Merry
you and,
yes.
and your family. Anything you wanted to get out on the show that I didn't cover? Is there any last thing you wanted to mention at all? Greeting, anything?
No, absolutely. I'm not doing any more teases. I learned my lesson. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you, Mike and Rob and Josh. I'm sure Josh will talk again soon. And yeah, I'm looking forward to recording our episode.
The episode entitled Death in Tanzania will be coming up on the Mike O'Mara show.
Yeah, and it's also some people call it Death of the Tees.
Death of the Tees, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Matt.
I won't do any more teases. All right, I'm done.
You can come on anytime you want. I love having you on the show, and that is the God's honest truth. So please come back and join us. And Merry Christmas to you and your family. We appreciate you coming on. That's wonderful. This is the time of year when I need my wardrobe to be its best. That's why I'm all about Quince. They make it easy to look sharp, feel good, and find gifts that last. From Mongolian cashmere sweaters to Italian wool coats, Quince pieces are crafted from premium materials and built to hold up without the luxury markup. Quince makes the essentials every guy needs. Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, Italian wool coats that look and feel designer, and denim and chinos that fit just right. Plus, down jackets, wool top coats, and leather styles that are built to last. It's everything you actually want to wear, built to hold up season after season. I got a cashmere sweater perfect for the Florida winters, which is to say it looks amazing without being bulky or too hot. It looks amazing and I love it. Get your wardrobe on point and your gift list handled with Quince. Don't wait. Go to quince.com/TMOS for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/TMOS. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/TMOS. This holiday season, what does comfort look like to you? For me, it's slowing down, finding calm amid the chaos, and making home a place where everyone can truly relax. That's where Avocado Green Mattress comes in. Avocado helps you create your own natural oasis, a calm, cozy space filled with certified organic comfort. Their handcrafted mattresses are designed for deeper, more restorative sleep, and their breathable pillows and soft organic bedding bring that same luxury to every part of your home. Hosting family this year, Avocado's sustainable furniture, like their beautifully made city bed frame, helps you create a warm, inviting space where everyone sleeps well and feels cared for. Everything Avocado makes is thoughtfully crafted with the planet in mind, certified organic, non-toxic, and built to last, so you can feel good about the comfort you bring into your home, because Avocado believes in being better for you and better for the planet. Prioritize rest and recharge with Avocado's organic comfort. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis and save big during their holiday sale. Avocado, dream of better. The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial genius, monetary magician. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. You see, my friends, Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Before we get to our news segment, I wanted to mention Christmas is coming. Goose is getting fat. And Aura Frame, I got to get myself, I've been tardy getting them. I got to get the Aura Frame because everybody in my family wants
one. The beautiful thing, it's not too late. I know we're close to Christmas, but it's not too late.
Such a great gift. Without a doubt, the coolest digital picture frame that's out there. People love it because it can be all about them. And isn't that all what we really want anyway? We just want it all about us. That's the way it goes. Just download the Aura app and connect to Wi-Fi. Plus, you can preload photos before it ships and keep adding from anywhere, anytime. You can even add a message before it arrives. You can share photos and videos effortlessly straight from your phone all year long. Even better, every frame comes packaged in a premium gift box with no price tag. Remember, you can't wrap togetherness, but you can frame it. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver matte frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code TMOS at checkout. That's AuraFrame.com, promo code TMOS. This deal is exclusive to our listeners, and frames sell out fast. So order yours now to get it in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Take it away. Gentleman. Oh, I love it when Rob's back in Leesburg. I love it, love it, love it, love it.
These are called Tanzanian tidbits today.
And I mean that. That was the worst tease I may have ever seen.
I really couldn't follow it. I tried.
Look at this shot. This looks, the three of us side by side, looks like an ad for Our Eyes. Anyway.
You can choose from three different frames.
I keep trying to get Warby Parker on board.
Oh boy.
They're good folks.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to make sure you have a Merry Christmas, blow your whole budget on a last-minute flight to the winter wonderland of Atlanta.
Ew.
The site Wallet Hub. You know I love Wallet Hub.
You love Wallet Hub.
Their surveys to me are genuine and they are legit. They ranked the best cities to spend Christmas in, and this year, Atlanta took the top spot. I am blown away by that.
I'm not, Mike. And if you want to be specific, you want to spend Christmas in Atlanta at Hartsfield Airport.
Yes.
In the airport.
You can spend the whole day walking.
You can. They have shops like, if you like to
gate
read.
Gate to gate.
Mike, they have a Hudson News. You can buy almost anything there.
They have that New Orleans seafood restaurant that I like so bad. Mm-hmm. They base it, Wallet Hub does, on things like how many holiday-themed events there are, seasonal businesses like Christmas tree farms, how easy it is to shop, and how much people love the holidays based on Google searches. I'm not sure.
There's a lot of good Christmas stuff probably an hour to 2 hours outside of Atlanta. So they might be including that. There's some nice things up in the mountains.
Yeah, if you want to go to Marietta, perhaps. I have a question for you about Christmas in Florida, because I just spent a couple weeks of December in Florida. The whole time I saw one cut Christmas tree stand, a stand where they sell cut Christmas trees, the real deal.
Yeah.
I only saw one, and I never saw a person.
Why do you call them cut instead of live?
Because if they were live, they would still have the dirt on the bottom of them. And
yeah,
then
they'd be in a pot.
Then you would transplant it. So cut Christmas trees. I saw no one in this lot ever. Do people even do Christmas trees in Florida? Like go out to the stand or cut someone?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. They're at the Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
And there are a few parking lots that have them down here. And I've seen a few cars that get closer to the holiday. And that's what it seems like down here.
Can you go cut your own anywhere in Florida? It sounds miserable.
Maybe the northern part of the state, but certainly not down here.
I remember the last time Mike did it was a palm tree.
It was a palmetto. let's get it right. So with all those criteria, the 10 best cities for Christmas in 2025 are Atlanta, right. San Francisco, Seattle, Orlando, Las Vegas, St. Louis, Miami, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, and Cincinnati.
Not a lot of cold weather cities in there. Maybe That's three or four?
It's a surprise to me. It really is.
Makes sense because the theme parks all do it up for Christmas.
They manufacture Christmas.
So that makes sense.
Vegas made the top five, but of the 100 cities they looked at, North Las Vegas ranked second to last. So be sure to look up the address and, like Santa, check it twice.
Get it. I went to Christmas at the Downtown Grand, and what they did is they set up a tree, and raw sewage came up under it. It was
really
beautiful.
Exciting. It was delightful raw sewage coming up all over the Downtown Grand. We say thank you to them. Moving on, ladies and gentlemen, a woman in California claims an Amazon delivery driver dropped off a package last week and then stole her cat. Piper was the name of her cat. She saw
it
happen.
Right, Mike. Piper.
Piper. She saw it happen on footage from her Ring camera. You can see the driver leave the package, take a photo, and approach a cat standing near them. She saw it happen on footage that showed the person literally grabbing the cat by the scruff of its neck, carrying it back to their vehicle.
Oh, he carried it like a mom cat carries a kitten.
Yeah, as the cat squirming around and meowing. It's possible that the driver thought it was a stray who was trying to help. But the woman points out that they're not handling the cat nicely. And the cat was literally on the edge of her front porch on a suburban street. So it's strange that someone would assume it didn't have a home. It's unclear if the cat had a collar or a microchip. The woman complained to Amazon and they said they're investigating. They said they do know who the driver was. They just haven't contacted them. And it's been almost a week. She also reported it to the police, but they told her that it could be weeks or months before they have time to look at it.
Amazon's
big package. That's big package. What's that?
Amazon's normally 2 days. It's way too long to get your cat.
When she called and asked for a return, they said, what was wrong with the cat?
There you go. Easier to get the package than get the cat back. There it is.
So true.
Zootopia 2 has been a worldwide sensation, hitting the $1 billion mark faster than any animated PG-rated movie in history. The film's breakout character is Gary DeSnake, who's modeled after the highly venomous blue Indonesian pit viper. While its bite is rarely fatal, it can result in pain, swelling, and serious tissue damage. But that isn't stopping fans in China from buying them as pets. Blue vipers are being bought and sold for several hundred dollars on Chinese e-commerce sites.
Mike, although, that's in China. China.
Although many have removed the listings, it's become such a concern that the Chinese state media said, quote, in the movie, the blue snake is imbued with endearing and brave human-like traits, but the real-life venomous snake is far from being a harmless, trendy toy. If a venomous snake escapes or attacks, it endangers not only the owner and their family, but can also escalate into a public safety incident. That sounds like China.
Josh and I were talking yesterday. Anytime something talks, you don't want to eat it. So yes. If it's like a talking snake, you don't want to eat it. Talking cabbage, you don't want to eat it. So stay away
from creepy.
That.
And vipers, you know, just
vipers.
Talk about your triangular head there, huh? Come on now. The Rolling Stones will not be touring in 26. That's not the bad news. The bad news, the really bad news, is that they've canceled their plans because Keith Richards isn't up to it. This
what?
Might be time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, rock and roll's most indestructible man is losing it. There's no word what the problem is, but Keith turns 82 tomorrow, and he's been dealing with arthritis in recent years. A source says, quote,
who would think that Keith, the thing that would take Keith Richards down would be arthritis. A man who once swapped out his blood to get clean blood free of drugs is being hit by arthritis. That's
The quote from a source says, when they properly sat down to discuss the tour, Keith said he didn't think he could commit and wasn't keen on a big stadium tour for over 4 months. There is apparently a new album coming out in 26, so that's something to look forward to. Mm. If Keith doesn't die and usher in the apocalypse, that is, Keith, if he can't make it, what hope do the rest of us have? I mean, how many years have we been looking at the age jokes with Keith?
I've seen the Stones many times. I could count, but I don't want to right now. But probably at least a half a dozen times. I stopped wanting to see them when Charlie Watts passed away.
Yep.
Because to me, it's not the band anymore. And I appreciate Mick and Keith, and I love what they've done and the heritage that precedes them. But it's not the band anymore. And if they even think of taking a step forward without Keith, that's the biggest money grab I've ever seen.
Yeah, right there. And they, you know, when you make fun of somebody looking old and being alive for that long, it is kind of sad when it sounds like maybe the time is nigh. That's a little freaky for me when I think about that. You know who we have, though, Rob?
Who's
your
that?
Favorite. We have Reba.
Oh, I love her. And you know what? Happy's Place airs every Friday night on NBC and streams the next day on Peacock. And
not,
it's
not canceled
great.
Yet.
No, season two.
This is a sad and a nice story about Reba McEntire. She's reflecting on her time working with director Rob Reiner. In a post on Instagram, Reba wrote, "I enjoyed every minute I was around Rob Reiner." A lot of people say that. He was one of a kind. She also shared a throwback photo of the two on set with Rob pointing toward a monitor while Reba smiles over his shoulder. Reba said, "I got to work with him on the movie North, and he also helped us with our ending of my video. Does he love you? I sure will miss him." He's certainly not the she's certainly not the only one that has nice things to say about Rob
Reiner. I think that North was not one of his better movies, and I see this as a little bit of a look at me play from Reba.
Don't a lot of people want to express it when they feel sad? They want to share with everybody. You know, do you really think it's that negative about her?
I do, and I also thought it was inappropriate that she claimed in the post that she played Gloria Stivic in All in the Family, which is not true.
Did you hear the other story about the Reiner situation when they were at Conan O'Brien's Christmas party? That the kid, the murderer, apparently got into a little tiff with Bill Hader at Conan O'Brien's party. So
and
left
him.
Huff.
This is a private conversation, and he got mad that he was not invited into their conversation.
Yeah, so it's a lot of weirdness leading up to those tragic murders. So really horrible.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, very sad. Very sad.
Keeping track of that guest list of who was at the Conan party.
Yeah, because it sounds like an A-list party with a lot of luminaries there. Mm-hmm. Some holiday traditions never get old and stick around for decades. Others, Elf on the Shelf, can really wear out their welcome. So here's something amazing to try. There is a custom out of Catalonia, Spain, called Tio de Nadal. The name translates as Christmas log, but it's also known as the poop log.
Tio mean uncle?
It does.
I guess it must have several meanings.
Well, it's uncle log.
Uncle log.
All kids love log.
Or it's referred to as the S-word log. No joke. Here's how it works. In the 2.5 weeks leading up to Christmas, families keep a regular wood log in the home with a face painted on it. It also has a red hat, two wooden legs in the front, and a blanket over its back end. The log represents a character who will poop out treats come Christmas Day. To get the log to poop, children pretend to feed it scraps of food, sing to it, specifically a song about pooping out gifts, and then beat it with sticks.
Oh, wow.
Sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
On Christmas Day. Yeah.
That's what Myers was originally going for with that hand soap.
It smells like Christmas poop?
Yeah.
On Christmas Day, after the singing and the beating, the blanket is lifted off the Christmas log's back end, and surprise, it has pooped gifts to everyone.
Wow.
Isn't that exciting?
You know, that's reminiscent to me of another odd Christmas tradition. And I know Josh hasn't been with us all that long. Do you know about Black Peter, Josh?
Yes, I do know about Black Peter.
Okay, checking.
I've listened forever.
Okay, he loves it. Yeah, that's his thing. That's what he likes. He's not normal. Finally today, excuse me. Finally today, a 39-year-old woman in Florida named Latoya Clark was pulled over on Wednesday, blocks away from the U.S. District Courthouse. A license plate reader had flagged her vehicle as being stolen, and the cops responded. As she was being cuffed, an officer started to explain to Latoya why she was being arrested, and she said, "Oh, I know why." She said she was on her way to the courthouse because she is on trial for a federal crime. She's on trial for her alleged role in a conspiracy that defrauded $29 million from government COVID relief loans and grants. Now she has more problems. She was driving a U-Haul cargo van that she took out for a one-day rental 2 months ago.
Oh, no.
When she didn't return it, it was reported stolen. Now she has that to deal with, along with the previous felony fraud charges, and several of those carry a maximum 20-year prison sentence. Her nickname is Lucky. Lucky Clark, ladies and gentlemen. There she is. I want to tell you. Read that when I was sleeping. Anyway, thank you all very much. We appreciate that. I do want to remind you that this program is brought to you by Soul. When the holiday season rolls around, it feels like there's a party every single weekend. All of those boozy, creamy, sugary, hangover-inducing drinks, they add up. This season, may I suggest Soul's out-of-office gummies. Same fun vibe, low in calories, and zero hangover. Soul specializes in delicious hemp-derived THC and CBD products designed to boost your mood and help you unwind. Or try their out-of-office beverage, a refreshing alcohol-free alternative that's perfect for winding down on the couch or socializing at a tedious office party.
Tedious.
Plus, no annoying nog after effect. Soul also has a variety of products specifically designed to help you get a better night's rest, including their top-selling sleepy gummies. With wellness at the forefront, you can feel good about what you're putting in your body. All of Soul's products are made from organically farmed USA-grown hemp and are vegan, gluten-free, low in sugar, and federally legal. And if you're good, Santa will bring you some Cheetos! Yay!
Yay!
Bring on the holiday cheer and treat yourself for someone you love to Soul this season. Right now, Soul is offering the TMOS audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com with promo code TMOS for 30% off. All right, it's the holidays. We all go through it with the kids and what we want to get them, and it's time to talk about a little boomer parenting. And I'm a boomer. I think I fall into that category.
Just at the very end of it, yeah.
Yes.
Actually. And I'm a perfect Generation Xer. I'm in the middle of Generation X.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh is what is known as the Christmas baby. Where do you fall, Josh? I don't know. Are you a millennial?
I'm not a millennial. Millennials are younger. I think I'm a Gen Y? X. I think I'm on the tail end of
I think
Gen
you're on the
X.
tail. You're on the back end of the Gen X. Rob, you're on the front end of the Gen X.
I believe that's how it goes.
All right. And they talk here about the way boomers parent, and this was going viral a day or so ago. I was a victim of this in my family, and also I have done this, and I'm curious if this happens in your family. It has to do with giving bad news.
Family therapist for about 10 years now.
She's a family
this
therapist.
Thing that boomer parents consistently do that I have to admit I truly do not understand. And I really would like to understand this because I do think it would really help my Gen X and millennial adult clients. So here I am, kind of pulling the audience, phoning a friend, phoning a boomer per se. Okay, I'm going to play the part of the boomer parent. Hey, honey. Yep. Oh, I hope you're having a good day. Yeah, I just want to let you know your dad had surgery today. Yeah, it's, it was open heart surgery. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just didn't want to worry you. Yeah, we didn't want to worry you. Yeah. Or here's another one. Hey, honey, how you doing? Yep. Well, grandma's been on life support for the last week and it's not looking good. So, you know, we thought we'd let you know.
So do you ever like...
Oh, I feel the vibe coming right through. I definitely feel the vibe of phone calls that were similar in nature. What is the... I'm so used to it, I probably have made those kind of calls.
I know I have, and my kids yelled at me.
What is the knock on that they don't that they're late in delivering the news? Is that what it's all about?
They soft pedal big news, and like for example,
it's like they don't want to bother you.
Yeah, and if your dad is having an open heart surgery, tell them like the week before so you know that it's coming up, and not like dad had it today and it went well. That's like so that messes with your mind.
Right.
And grandma being on life support. You got to let the kids know, because if grandma just dies, you've got to. I mean, I know it's unpleasant.
I think it may
about
come
not
from
to
the
be a burden.
Yeah.
But it also might come from the World War II stiff upper lip crowd.
I agree.
You know, where you're kind of, you know, you tough it out. You don't want to ruin it. I remember my brother-in-law would occasionally remind me, I was a big sharer. That's that we all are.
Yeah.
That's why we do what we do. And I would probably overshare good and bad with my mom. And as she got older, I know that some family members, including my brother-in-law, kind of took issue. Well, maybe she doesn't need to know that now. And I remember it pissed me off so much because, you know, I just wanted to share. And then my kids... Catherine comes to mind that she will let me know. She will call me more often than not with really good stuff. That's when she will get to. Yeah. And I was the same way with my mom for most of my life. I occasionally would overshare the bad stuff, but more often than not, I would share just the phone calls when I'd had a something really special happen to me that was good.
Michael is very young, and I can see you sort of censoring what he has to hear and worry about and what he doesn't. But now that your kids are older, your daughters, can you think of an instance when something rotten happened that you didn't tell them just because they don't need to know that?
I can think of an instant where something rotten happened that I didn't know about.
Okay.
Because I got it from one sibling and not the other. I got it from the sibling that it didn't happen to. And, you know, that's not the way I like to hear stuff. And, you know, I have one daughter who's easy to communicate with and another daughter who's difficult to track down. And that's very frustrating. In fact, I was thinking about it last night to just get updated on the last I talked to her sister, she told me the other sister was moving to Philadelphia, and I have not confirmed that yet. That's how
that's
sporadic
not what you
the communication
hear. You don't want to hear that secondhand.
Yes.
Yeah. I got both Robert and Julia were really angry with me when my Uncle Bruce passed away probably like 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. There was a long line of leading up to it that he was sick. He had been hospitalized, and they both knew him. They'd met him. He was my godfather, so he's sort of a big deal in our family. But I never mentioned that he was suffering.
Right.
And when I finally told them, you know, I've got some bad news. My Uncle Bruce, your Uncle Bruce has died. They said, well, that's sudden. I said, well, not really. And they said, well, why didn't we know this was going on?
Right.
You know, it's not going to ruin their life to know that someone else is having these problems, but it does. It's almost a courtesy.
Yeah.
To let people know.
Yeah, it's a stiff upper lip thing. Go ahead, Josh.
I had a little bit of this last week because my mom had some surgery last week. Mm-hmm. Everything's all good. They told us ahead of time, but they were very active on telling the kids, leave us alone. We don't want to see anyone. Christmas is canceled because she's going to be recovering. So that was all fine. And I call and I check in and everything. And
right.
I check in the day of the surgery to see how surgery went. Remember, my parents live 45 minutes from me.
That's right.
I check into the day of the surgery, and they're like, oh, it's good. Our friends came over and sat with us at the medical place while it got done and took care of it.
Oh, friends came, but not kids?
You told me to stay away, but then these friends are welcome. And then I check in the next day, and it's like they're back home, and everything's good. Again, friends come over to visit, but they don't want me. Finally, I forced myself over.
I've found that I've been told not to come to hospitals or visit or anything like that. And I think Mike is right. It's not wanting to burden people.
Yeah,
I think 100%.
But I do know that the times that I've sort of overruled it and showed up, it's never been like awkward or unhappy.
Yeah.
They like the people showing up. But it's weird.
I was never told the location, but apparently friends were.
Yeah. Do you think there is an element of, you know, if you do push through that, oh, don't do that. But they really do want you to be there. They really do want you to hang out.
I think it's really about not wanting to burden them.
Yeah.
And I think they always assume we have so much going on and we're busy with kids and all. And
my dad said, don't come. He says, there's nothing you can do here. in Florida recently, and that was the
like
first.
Like when you were leaving recently?
Yeah.
You
know, and
that's
I said,
a good sign for him, right?
Well, I guess, or a stupid sign.
Well, I mean, how is he doing? I mean, and then now I have to ask you on the show. I don't want to, but how is he doing?
No, he hasn't fallen again. He did have sort of a negative examination on his knee yesterday from the surgeon. The surgeon's good news was, hey, we caught this infection fast enough that he didn't lose the leg. And that's good.
But that is good.
But also, he said, I'm looking at the arthritis that is playing along with the knee where he got the infection.
Nothing life-threatening, though, right?
No, he just has to cancel his tour.
He will not. Your dad will not be touring with the Stones. But
he's going to have getting him to walk again unassisted is going to be tough. Now because of the advanced arthritis.
But once again, not life-threatening, right?
No. He's going to be fine. It's going to be a whole different world for him. I mean, not being independent like that. And that was a tremendous... Kathy was pretty broken up last night about it. And that's a drag.
Yeah.
It really,
really
is. Yeah,
but the alternative, right? The alternative is, you know...
Being able to walk? That's the alternative.
If he went septic or something at the beginning and he had an infection in his pacemaker, that was a near-death type of situation.
He's not in death's doorway anymore. But we really do... He's frustrated because he can't walk, and it makes him sort of a pain in the ass to be around most days. And so we just got to get it resolved and figure out what's up.
But it was just not a great day. That does suck.
So thank you very much. Sucks. Appreciate it.
All right. So he doesn't want you down there. That's the gist of it, right?
Well, originally that's what he said, and it turned out to be like the greatest 3 weeks we've spent together. It was a really great visit. And he spent all day, you know, he spent about 8 weeks in bed before they even tried to get him to sit up. And so he was out of his mind bored. And to have someone there of a similar mindset trying to cheer him up and talk to him throughout the day, it was great. Having gone there, I'll never regret it. It was fine. But the initial thing is, don't come down here. I'm fine. Well,
you know,
the
only way I can relate to that, Rob, is that I've told this story before, maybe not on the air, but in private, that at the time of my mom's passing, my sister and brother-in-law had planned really even for them, and they, you know, they've done well in life, but they were planning this amazing ski trip to Switzerland, this very, very exclusive, super vacation that they'd had, and they'd been looking forward to it for over a year, and it came right down to the fact that, you know, do we go, do we not go, do we go, do we not go, and they ended up turning around and flying back across the pond when my mom passed away, and the only I had said to them, I'll come up and I'll hang with mom because you've been there for when she's been ill almost double the time that I would ever be around, and I was glad to do it, and we did some shows from Boston when I was up there right around St. Patrick's Day.
Did Kathy make it back in time? I don't remember.
She did not, and it broke my heart there are two things that were said about this. Right the day or two before she passed away, she said, did Kathy and Paul go on their trip? Can you imagine that, really, when you think about that, that you're at the end, and that's how, but that's just my mom and the way she was.
Love and adoration right there. She just wanted her daughter to be happy.
Well,
I guess.
And still didn't want to be a burden.
Didn't want them to cancel it. And then I think she almost got permission to let go. And I was there with her at the end. It was just very interesting the way she
was
with that.
And I thought it was nice that you were cleared of all charges. I know you were a person of interest for
a while. Yes, I was. That pillow was right next to... That's the way it was. Yeah. Anyway, don't be a burden. No. Be honest. Be open and honest
and do all that.
But hey, I wanted to mention that this episode is powered by Incogni,
Hi there,
your personal data's bodyguard. Listen up. Santa's helpers. Data brokers scoop up your info, names, addresses, even social security numbers, and they sell it to whoever's paying. Scammers, spammers, creepy marketers, you name it. That's why your phone won't stop ringing. Your inbox is a mess, and identity theft is always lurking around the corner. Data breaches are way up, and statistically, breaches increase every year. Incogni fights back. They automatically wipe your data from over 230 brokers, keep monitoring, and push back when brokers resist. You stay off their list, period. You get peace of mind, and they get coal in their cyber stocking. Face! That's all
Face.
I could do.
Face.
Sorry. With four flexible plans, their protection always fits you and your family. And you're covered by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Bottom line, if your data's out there, you need Incogni. Incogni is an amazing partner. So if you like us, please check them out today. It would mean a lot to the show. Use code TMOS at incogni.com/TMOS to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Incogni.com/TMOS. That's incogni.com/TMOS. And we thank Incogni for their fine sponsorship.
Great year, you know, with them. Yeah, absolutely.
As far as being a burden goes, I have to say that I wonder to myself this week if 12, Josh, that age is the most expensive age for Christmas, because I really do believe it is.
Gosh, you know, it might
we
be actually
yesterday.
Yeah.
And we're like, it doesn't look like we have that many presents, because all the kids, they just need more expensive stuff now.
So it's ridiculous. Amazing. Yeah. It really is crazy.
I'm impressed that you're wrapping presents on the 17th. That's pretty far out.
It is far out.
Yeah, we've got some things, some travel and stuff going on.
Oh, so you got to be ready, because you know there's only 8 days left to get all that stuff done.
There it is.
Yeah, so
there
get
it goes,
on it.
Folks.
And Mike, this
Hello
is
there.
The 8 day one. This is one of my favorites because of the funny ending. But here comes the drunk guy.
Hi, have you done your Christmas shopping?
Hello there.
You better hurry up,
or you'll be sorry.
That, if you had to pick a hit single of the album of shopping warnings, that's the one. That's a great one right there.
Wow.
Thank you.
Hey, Daniel Thurber. Did you see that comment from Daniel Thurber?
I did not. What does he say?
No, I'm not going to repeat it.
Oh,
it's kind of creepy.
Oh, no. Daniel, no.
That's so weird, isn't it? Isn't that dark?
And the first two words in that, I don't know that I've ever heard that phrase before.
That is so disgusting.
That's really bad.
That's so twisted and weird. I wonder if he's my age, because he's got that 77 in his identifier.
Maybe he's 77 years old.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Oh, and he said it's the best. Oh, Daniel, Daniel, how old are you? Just tell us.
Are you 66, Daniel, or thereabouts?
He doesn't want to burden us, Mike.
So weird. No, but speaking of burden, I have put the, I think Josh has too. I put the kibosh on the
yes.
E-box.
No dirt bikes.
You know, dirt bike thing. No, it's not going to happen. Yeah. And then phase two, I went to the world of kayaks and I looked at kayaks. And we have by the way, we have a kayak joint down there.
Really
How
hard
come
to
you're
wrap.
Not pushing Bonus Show's subscription this year? How come you're not pushing? We are going to do that this year.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned you went kayaking with your son recently, and you used a new set of muscles. That's why I remember.
On the cruise.
Yeah, my shoulders just got back to normal.
Oh, I didn't realize that was a cruise activity that you kayaked?
We went to their little, they all have their little islands.
How do you think the boat moved?
there you go. The seaside. I was in the back going,
I had a job beating the drum to make sure you guys were rhythmic.
It was fun. Right now, it's a ridiculously... why do I look over like he's here? He's in school.
He's at school still, right?
A ridiculously expensive fishing reel, ridiculously expensive bat, and then two other things that, and they're all ridiculously expensive.
Yeah. I gotta
Everything
know
is.
Because my father actually has a notable fishing reel collection, classic fishing reels that he cherishes, and he spent a long time curating, getting them together. I love to look at them. For a modern, neat, good, top of the line fishing reel, what are we looking at? Like
top of the line,
like the one he
mid
wants.
Mid-200s.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right, Josh?
For something
have you looked at some of those? They're silly.
Yeah, we haven't. We haven't jumped into that. The rods are flashier, so we can get away with more mid-scale $100 reel.
Oh, so but, you put the money in the rod, not the reel.
I put it in the reel because it's like put it on one of your existing rods. Yeah. That's exactly. That's the way it goes. Mm-hmm. But I haven't done it yet. I'm gonna do it today, and venture out.
Yeah,
and,
we're not down the baseball path, but we're down the game and keyboard path.
Oh yes, that's another expensive. Big one. Man, the
12-year-old might be the worst.
Big retail, Rob, has finally figured out how to bilk the American middle-class consumer. They have done that.
And I think it's YouTube. Yeah. I think YouTube has pestered all the kids with all these ads and with this, I need it because these streamers have it.
And right.
Do you guys ever get itemized Amazon list from your children, or are they still just telling you stuff?
No, I'm getting the Amazon list.
Yeah, I get that. I get the list from all my kids.
And by the way, I watch, semi-regularly, I watch My Next Guest Needs No Introduction, the David Letterman series.
Love that.
And Mr. Beast is a dick.
Oh, I hate Mr. Beast from day one.
Mr. Beast is just the dick of
dicks. What an a-hole.
And he's right in that Jimmy Fallon, I want to be a cute baby talker category, which just sucks ass.
And also, you know what? His name promises something he doesn't deliver. He's not a beast. He's barely a mister.
And he's not even creative enough to come up with his own name.
Yes.
That name is because it was auto-assigned to him by Xbox.
Right. And, by the way, I'm watching this and watching the profile on everything he does. Well, if you give away $500,000 to people, that's the formula. You want to talk about the formula? If you stay in prison for 30 days or 100 days, you get, you get this money. And by the way, statistics have shown that people can't do that.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty safe bet.
How did Letterman deal with him as being such a dick?
Because
normally Letterman brings
I
on
urge you to watch
people.
It because there was a bit of tension between Letterman and this guy who's just kind of, look at me with my fake teeth.
Mike, this is why if we get 100 million bonus show subscribers, we too will give away $1 million.
We will.
We will give away. Mm-hmm. If we get 100 million bonus show subscribers, $1 million is coming your way.
But you have to listen to all of the bonus shows in a row, and then you get $1 million.
Yeah, we're going to try that.
Key letter each one, and 52 letters later, you'll know.
Right now, our sorry asses would settle for Super Chats. All right, we have more coming. Yes, go ahead.
Well, I do want to mention the bonus shows because it's only in December and January that you can sign up for the yearly subscriptions, where you can get the commercial free all year or the regular bonus show all year.
Yeah.
But you got to buy it now in December and January.
It's a great way to save money, support the show, get the content. Yeah.
We're planning for our big push in January. Somebody mentioned it to Josh. Yes. So please support us any way you can. This is our time of the year when you do that. And that's interesting. Somebody brought that up. How come you're not pushing yearly subscriptions? We are. We do it in January more than December.
Do you feel like it was like almost reverse psychology on us?
No. No, we're not that smart. No.
I know. Well, he's not that smart.
I think it was someone who thinks they are smarter than us.
Oh,
and we have forgotten to push this.
Yes,
well, all I know is getting ready for the holidays is a hassle. Selecting great wines to make merry and bright shouldn't be. Naked Wines, the sponsor of today's show, Graham, and they're pouring out a deal you can't ignore. They connect you directly to the world's best independent winemakers, so you get world-class wine delivered right to your door for up to 60% off store prices. No middlemen, no nonsense, just incredible wine. Use code TMOS at nakedwines.com for $100 off your first order. That's 6 bottles for just $39.99. I drink it. I love it. Every bottle's better than the last. Naked Wines, because life's too short for bad wine. Can't believe how good every single bottle is that comes out of a Naked Wine case. So let's all head to nakedwines.com/TMOS. Click enter voucher and put in TMOS for both the code and password to get $100 off your first order. That's 6 bottles for only $39.99 with shipping included. $100 off your first 6 bottles at nakedwines.com/TMOS and use the code and password TMOS for 6 bottles of wine for $39.99, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Cherry time.
Chicagoland. Mike, we've taken a lot of meals together, and some of my favorite memories have been eating with you, and the laughter is just uncontained.
Yes.
And we all have our standard things we do when we eat. And one of yours was, and I love it, I can see it perfectly to this day, is after a shrimp cocktail, putting the shrimp tails on your fingers.
Oh, to I love look that like bit.
Long fingernails.
Still do it. Still yeah. do it to this day. Absolutely.
Now, if you're not moneyed enough to have a shrimp cocktail, I think a good substitute for that is the classic snack Bugles. Remember Bugles?
Oh, I love Bugles. The corn chip Bugles.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like cones, and you can put those on your knee, on your finger as well. But this guy is troubled. He says his childhood has been ruined.
Bugles? What the f*** is going on, dude? I bought this bag of Bugles for the first time in like 15 years, and they had a Tabasco one, so it looked good. And I bought them because I wanted to put my finger through them like this, like a little hat. You know, you guys, I don't know if you guys did that.
Yeah,
part of the fun.
Finger hats.
None of them have an opening for the hat. None.
Wait, are they broken or?
No, they're
flat. Bad at expressing himself. Yeah. What's he talking about?
They're flat.
They're chips.
They're Doritos.
What the f*** is this, a Dorito?
Okay.
Bugles.
Does that mean they broke or they're manufactured like that?
No, I think they've changed the manufacturing method of Bugles, and you can't make finger hats anymore.
The point of being a Bugle is that it's a cone.
I know.
Yeah, they're not a Bugle anymore.
Bastards. Right. God, come on, people. Come on.
Now, Mike, I know you've seen the super secret miniature Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. Did you know there are other statues of liberty around the world? I know there's one in France because it
was a
gift.
I saw the one in France.
Yes.
I saw the one in a New York City gift shop.
Yeah. Oh, I saw the one at the gift shop that was broken, and so the torch was being held out like this.
Very exciting.
But there is a there was a Super Saver type store, like a dollar store, but you wouldn't call it a dollar store because it's in Brazil, that to drive business to them, they built an over 100-foot replica of the Statue of Liberty and covered it. It's metal. I mean, it's like a really substantial statue.
It's a money metal statue.
It is on top of their building. And they thought this entirely through. It's beautiful, but they didn't consider one thing. Do you know that Brazil gets windy?
Oh, no.
No, no.
Oh, no. Oh, what a sad fall. Crushed her head.
I know. It's really bad.
Lady Liberty. Glad it doesn't look like it hit a car. But
no, no cars were hit, but they said that they were. There was urgency to get the cars out of the parking lot.
Fecal
who
urgency.
Knows what's well, if you hope saw that falling, absolutely.
Right. Hope it's never windy in New York.
Wow.
Well, I think we might have designed it a little stronger.
Wow.
Mike, didn't the show have sort of a past with Gil Gerard? Wasn't he one of those guests that came on, loved the show, and eventually you had to like stop taking
your memory
calls?
Would be better than mine on that. What was the sci-fi show that he was on? Wasn't it?
I'm so glad you mentioned it because we're going to see it in a moment. But okay. Gil Gerard passed from cancer. He was 82, which is a pretty good run. But his show
Keith
was
Richards' age.
Yeah, but he outlasted, Keith Richards outlasted Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
Okay.
And I love this because I think it's Bill Conrad doing the narration, Mike, but they wanted it to sound so modern.
In the year 1987, at the John F. Kennedy Space Center, NASA launched the last of America's deep space probes. The payload perched on the
that's not Gil.
Rocket no, I think that's William Conrad.
Exploration vessel, Ranger 3. Aboard this compact starship, a lone astronaut, Captain William Buck Rogers.
Gil Gerard.
Yeah, the opening to the show.
Cosmic forces beyond all comprehension. An awesome rush with death. In the wink of an eye, his life support systems were frozen by temperatures beyond imagination. Ranger 3 was blown out of its planned trajectory into an orbit 1,000 times more vast.
We bought that.
Yes, we did.
We bought all that crap.
Yes, we did. And there
was
a
the beginning
hot
of every episode?
No, there was a shorter version. That was from the pilot. Yeah.
There was a hottie on that show, too.
Aaron Gray.
Aaron Gray. Thank you, Rob. That's
and don't
right.
forget Tweaky the Robot, voiced by Mel Blanc, one of his last regular gigs. So it wasn't as all serious as that led it to believe. But
right.
Gil Gerard loved the show, and he loved this show. And safe home, and condolences to the family, Gerard. Now, I don't like this trend on TV. This is what we're going to close with. Of the, is it cake or is it real? shows, right? Yeah. Where they bake something. Yeah, say, is that really? Show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't
click
like it.
Clickbait, clickbait, clickbait.
Other people that don't like it include this pug. Watch him watching a cake get sliced.
Okay, let's see how this guy tastes. First cut right here.
That is so funny.
Let's watch it one more time. Am I correct? I think it might be a bulldog, not a pug.
Do you think it's real? Is that real?
I do. I think it is real, but let's look again.
I like this.
Okay, let's see how this guy tastes. First cut right here.
It's just cake, buddy.
Do you think there's a conflict between the dog's eyes and his sense of smell where, you know, she's cutting into the dog and he sees it and he gets screaming, but he's like, he's hanging there like a dog would by a table when people are eating. That's the way that goes. You know?
The problem with that dog are multifold.
Multifold. That's it. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow, everybody. Our thanks to Matt Soroka.
Yay.
The Zambibian mercenary.
It'll be better than the tease.
They call him the teaser.
Lost in Zambia. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Rob, for Mike O'Mara. This is Mike O'Mara saying goodbye, everyone. Thank you.
Mike, pubic dander.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd bring that up one more time.
Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
What would you like me to bring you for Christmas?
Nothing, thank you.
Oh, come now, you must want something.
Whatever I want, my mother will get for me. If it's sensible and doesn't cost too much, of course.
Because I'm all about the birth of Christmas. You know, the wise guys kicked him out of the hotel, and the ejaculate conception, and then the drummer that didn't have to give him some perfume. And it's a heavy deal for me.
Fragile! It must be Italian.